As we think about art, I want to do a little bit of sharing as an artist, and some of these, all of these images on the slideshow are from my own, what would you call it, portfolio. This is one of my art forms that I work with a lot called mandalas or mandalas. That's a Sanskrit word that means great circle or holy circle. And it's, for me, it's a prayer discipline, it's a spiritual practice. A lot of times I will just sit in prayer and have one of these sort of emerge slowly. Usually start in the center and work my way out, but not always, but generally that's why most of my mandalas have a very geometric and symmetric makeup to them, because I start in the middle and I repeat as I go patterns and things like that. This one and the three that I'll show you here in just a moment are all from, I call these my India mandalas. If you notice this date, most of these are dated somewhere if you look closely. This was about a week, this is in 2011 on October 23rd. That was a couple of weeks before we left for India, so some of us from here went to India. And I created this to offer as a gift, and I made several cards. And when we went to different hospitals and orphanages, we were asked to bring some things to share as gifts. So I had these packs of cards that I could share with our Indian missionary brothers and sisters. So this was my India, before I went to India, mandala. It kind of came to mind. It's very Christian. It's very Christocentric. It's focused around the cross. And it's got a lot of crosses in that. This would be one of those puzzles. How many crosses are there? Too many for me to count. But that's another way that it becomes a prayer discipline, is just to really, you know, to say a prayer with each cross that you draw or with each cross that you see. You'll notice something with these India mandalas, I think. They all sort of have the same color scheme, don't they? I was saying to the kids, you know, sometimes purple is my happy color, sometimes purple is my sad color. I don't think you, whoops. What happened? There we go. You can't always look at these and say, well, and I actually had somebody look at my mandalas once, and her comment to me was, why do you always draw in depressive colors? I don't know why you would look at that and think depression, but I didn't, and I don't, and I kind of take offense at that. Gosh, I don't know why I always draw in depressive colors. And technically, I guess, but according to one sort of color wheel, these might be more depressive, cool, calming. Another way of thinking about color is to think about chakras. And in India, sort of this ancient system of energy in the body, they're orange and yellow down low, and they're purple and blue up high. So the higher you move spiritually. So my response to that person might be, with a little bit of snidiness to my snarky remark, well, these aren't depressive colors, these are spiritual colors. And I guess you just wouldn't understand that. So there. The date on this is 11/7. I'm actually in India at this time. And Don might remember seeing me with my journal, and I would kind of color every night. And I created this one sort of as part of that experience. It's still very Christian, right? There's crosses all over it. What's another way to describe that? Anybody see anything else there? Yeah, thank you. It's a lotus. And we might have seen a lot of lotuses. Would that be loti, plural? I don't know. But anyway. So I was very kind of drawn. I'm drawn to this shape of these petals, almost like petals of a lotus flower. And you see that. You do see that in a lot of Indian art. So this was me sort of responding to being in India. And I think there's this other one, which I think is in the middle. Yeah. I was very struck by this shape. And I call this an 8-point star. If you count the points, well, you can count them a lot of ways. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But the inside star is actually made up of two squares. You see that? That square and then this one. I messed up on my lines. I do that a lot. I make mistakes. So it's basically two squares sort of interposed. just kind of tilted. You guys that were in India, do you know where I saw this and was sort of impacted by this, Hal and Donna, or? Exactly. There was a lot of this shape, this eight-pointed star in the architecture, and one in particular, the Taj Mahal. But in just in general, you'd see it in the tile floors. If you think about it, this is a very easy sort of shape to work with if it's all squares. Are there any quilters in the room? I know there are some. Shirley, have you ever done a star quilt? Or done? Yeah, okay. But you might, and again, my lines are not very good here, but you'll see this in a quilt too. Because again, in quilting you work with straight lines generally. And you can see this eight-pointed star. You've seen that in some antique quilts probably. So I just thought that was really, it's a very universal shape. I mean, here we are in the Taj Mahal, which is not a Christian architectural masterpiece, but you find these eight-point stars, you find the cross in there. Of course, I added my own sort of cross theme to this as well. Yeah, this was about a week or 10 days later from the one earlier, so it's during those 10 days in India, and sort of responding to my own experience and impressions of my surroundings in architectural. I do that a lot. I look in cathedrals, I've been in cathedrals, and just seeing the angels in the architecture, or the, what do you call that stuff? All the molding and the carvings and, you know, sometimes it's very ornate. As I was saying with the kids, our cross is very plain, but a lot of them have a lot of intricacy to it. And I kind of sort of respond to that. So all of this is my way of sort of reflecting on how we are God's artwork. I was going to read this line from a song that says that. We are God's work of art. And in Christ we are fashioned in love. With God's grace in our heart, we will rise up in glory with Christ, in glory with Christ, our light. We are God's work of art. God works through us to bring shape and color and texture to the world. And think about the texture and color that you have close to you right now in the form of that tissue paper. And again, from the words of this psalm, which in itself is a work of art, isn't it? The Bible is full of beautiful artwork. The poetry of the Psalms is just one good example. And then this is one artist sort of rendering of Psalm 27. And she uses some great words like, the noise of my fear, I shall rise above my struggles, my pains, shouting blessings of gratitude in love's heart and singing melodies of praise. So today, when we come forward for communion in a few minutes, I invite you to bring this paper, this color, this wrinkle, this whatever you have in your hands as an expression. Perhaps this is one of your blessings of gratitude. Perhaps it's a shout, maybe it's a whisper, maybe it's a melody of praise, maybe it's just a prayer, a word, a thanks. But as you come forward, you can hand it to me. I might get a willing volunteer to help me as we put these and transform this cross with our presence in God's loving embrace of all that we are. For we are God's work of art. You know, we may be the only gospel or the only sermon that anybody ever hears. So be that work of art unapologetically and unashamedly. Let God's light shine through you. Amen. Thank you.
So I had an interesting experience this morning. Went downstairs to change my laundry from my washer into my dryer, and I saw that there was this black furry thing on the ground just to the right to my dryer. Let me back up and tell the story a little bit differently. I've lived in my house since 2004. I have a crazy neighbor next to me. Her name's Mary. She has bats. She has bats. She has bats. She has bats. And sometimes, going from my car to my house, I'll just kind of sit and listen to them because they always sing me a nice song. And, you know, sometimes I can, you know, watch them swoop down and try to, like, get my head. And for 10 years, I've been so lucky. I've never been affected until this morning when I was taking my clothes from my washer into my dryer and I see this black furry thing on the ground. So I immediately text my dad, like, I have some exciting news. What do I do? And he pretty much told me I should just play with it for a little bit because, you know, I'm not going to get harmed. No, he didn't say that. He said, he said, whatever you do, don't touch it. Okay. So I went and got a straw and a bag, and I kind of scooped it up, and I threw it away. It was obviously very dead. And I texted him back, and I'm like, do I call an exterminator? What do? I have absolutely no clue. And he was like, no, you're fine. Just, you know, you're lucky it's dead, right? I'm like, yeah, I guess I am lucky that it died. And it's not on my main level. It was on my basement. And I said, well, I'm just going to go and take a flashlight and just check everything, you know, just in case there's another one down there. I don't want it sitting there rotting and stinking. And he was like, you know, you don't have to worry about doing that. If you want, I'll come over this week and I'll do it for you. Well, being a single woman, strong, independent single woman, by the time I got that text from Dad, I was already down there. And, you know, I had my flashlight. I made Addison stay upstairs because it is concern to me. It was in my basement, but I've got this nice little cutout cat shape because that's where my cat goes to the bathroom in the basement. The basement door is shut, and he just kind of goes through the little cat head that I cut out in the bottom of my floor. And the last thing I want is for my cat to find another bat and bring it to me as a gift during the middle of the night. You know, that would be horrific and awful. So I'll get to the end of my story and how this relates to the call of giving. So this is what I did, right? I took care of my home, right? I took care of my family, and I could have easily have stopped there and waited for someone to come and help me. But it is kind of like when you're in church and you give to your church, you are taking care of your home there. You are taking care of your others. You are taking care of yourself spiritually, physically, mentally. And by giving to the church, you are creating a second home for those who need it. So when you give today, remember to take care of your church home as well as your home.
Thank you. And part of the way we care for ourselves, or I should say are cared for, is by the invitation to this table and the feast of God's great abundance that is available to us all. So know that whoever you are and wherever you are in life's journey, you are welcome at this table. Church membership is not a requirement. There is no ticket. There is no token. All are welcome at this table, which is not mine, but God's. So come, not because you must, but because you may. Let us pray.
God, thank you for another opportunity to come to this table, not only to receive from you, but to share with you the gift of our color today. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to do that. Amen.
Covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness.
We are God's work of art. And what a thing of beauty it is, right? Can I get an amen? You're not just saying that? You really believe that, right? You should. Especially together. What a thing of beauty we are. So knowing that God goes before us, beside us, and surrounding us with love, know that God's Holy Spirit is in and among us. Thanks be to God. Amen.